Good morning and welcome into worship this morning as we've gathered together to worship our God in spirit and in truth. Just one announcement this morning. As you have heard, most of you, the passing of Gog Zanstra was announced. The funeral arrangements, funeral information is as follows. The visitation for Gog's is going to be from 1 to 6 p.m. on December 17, with the service following at 6 p.m. And I understand that to be here. Is that correct? I assumed that, but I did not ask. That is here. So on the 17th of December, from 1 to 6 p.m., visitation, family receiving the sympathies of friends and family, and then the service immediately following that at 6 p.m. So please be aware of that and continue to pray for Eileen and for Cheryl and for the extended family. I'd ask you to stand this morning as we hear God's call to worship from Psalm 96. In Psalm 96 we read, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity." This is the God whom we serve, the one who is the only true God. All other gods are nothing but man's imagination, idols of their making. But He, the one true God, is our strength and the one in whom we rejoice. Congregation, whom is your help? He greets you this morning. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, through the working of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's turn in our hymnals to 105C, 105C, to sing, "Oh, praise the Lord, His deeds make known." We're going to sing stanzas 1, 2, and 3, 1, 2, and 3 of 105C. God's promises stand forever and ever, and they are given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has given himself for our sins, and the one who has earned for us eternal life, gained for us eternal life, and the Spirit who brings life. This morning we consider God's will for our lives from Romans chapter 12. I want us to be thinking of it in light of how the Lord Jesus acted as he was upon the earth, which we're going to hear about that this morning from Luke chapter 6. We hear in Romans chapter 12 what it looks like to be living the new life in the Spirit. Those convicted of sin, made aware of their sins, and then reminded, too, of the way that we are to live, what it means to keep God's law. Let love be genuine, Romans 12, 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is God's will. This is what it looks like for us to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means to love our neighbor as well, to show this love, to show this kindness, to outdo each other in showing honor, to contribute to the needs around us, to be patient in affliction and tribulation, to rejoice in hope. And God says, this is the life I want for you. If you are my child, this is what it will look like for you to live in the strength that I give. We recognize that we don't do this, that we are those who don't look to the Lord always. Indeed, we serve ourselves. And we're reminded again that we fall short of that call that God gives. And yet he promises that he will forgive us of our sins, all of our omissions, those things that we do commit, the sins of commission, but also the sins of omission, those things that we fail to do to give honor and glory to him. And we recognize that we are to testify of our sin. 1 John chapter 1 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Indeed, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one who defends us. He is the propitiation for our sins. He intercedes for us that we might know that the Father would hear us, that he would see our sins cast away, having been paid for in the righteous life and atoning sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we respond then with number 240, thinking upon the love of God. O love of God, how strong and true, eternal and yet ever new, uncomprehended and unbought, beyond all knowledge and all thought. We sing those stanzas of number 240, reflecting on God's love in Christ Jesus. Let's go to the Lord now in time of congregational prayer. Oh Lord, we reflect upon your love this morning and every day, that love which reaches beyond the heavens, which reaches down to us here, to those most deeply troubled by sin, rescuing us. How great is that love that you have shown to us. We read that love best in him who came bearing the cross of shame, knowing that there was great shame before him, yet he considered the joy set before him, enduring the cross. Lord Jesus, we remember your coming in this season. We remember that you are the one who did not consider equality with God something to be held on to be grasped, but that you humbled yourself to become, as we are, sin accepted. That you would, in your perfect life and atoning death, redeem us from sin's curse. Lord, our God, you who bless us with everything we need for life and for godliness, we praise you for your faithfulness. And in this day, as your word is open and manna from heaven comes down, we pray that we would see it as more than that which is food upon the ground, but that we would take it up, that through the work of your Spirit into our hearts, we would be fed in our souls. We know that bread on the ground, just as your word all around us, if not taken in, gives no nourishment to us at all. We pray this morning that your word would nourish our hungry souls. Give us that hunger to take and to listen to what you would have to say to us, that we might be strengthened to live for your glory, that we might feed upon your word, for it alone is life for us. In this past week, we've remembered so much that we have to thank you for. Now, as we think about the coming of your Son, we're reminded of the way that you entered into the world in an even richer way, not just as food for physical need, but as flesh to deliver us from the curse of sin, providing substitutes that we might not face eternal condemnation. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. And truly, we could never imagine asking this of you, that you would come and die, that you would send your Son to die. But in doing so, you show your love, such that we know that we can ask. We're able to come to you. Indeed, we're strengthened to come, considering that grace that you have shown to us, that mercy that you have shown to us, that we can come and ask lesser things of you. We do pray for healing mercies physically. I pray that for Bill and for Hank and for Debbie and for Rich and for Carol. Lord, we know not what we face from day to day. We don't know the number of our days. Yet in all of this, Lord, you are working. In this uncertainty, you remind us that there is one thing certain, and that is you, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. For the gift of maturing faith through hardship and through sickness and pain, we thank you. We thank you for maturing faith where healing is not the answer. We thank you for the certainty given by you, that you do hear and answer prayer, and that you give what we most need. We pray for George and for Barb, for Eileen and Cheryl and the family and the death of Goggs. We pray that you would provide comfort. Lord, we don't often think about our great need, and yet in the loss of a loved one, we are reminded again. In the loss of a brother in the Lord, we are reminded again as a congregation of our need to be comforted, to be sustained, to be looking up to you for those precious promises that are in Christ, and yes and amen for us, that you fulfill them, that the one who believes in you will live though they die. We pray for Jake Terpstra too, as he's far from us, that we pray that you would watch over him in this holiday season, that you would protect him and all those around him. May he know your nearness and lean upon you for strength and for help. Father, we thank you for the way you bless us with hope of new life, too. We pray for the pregnancies that are represented here in this congregation. We ask, O Lord, for good pregnancies and healthy deliveries. We thank you for the children that we have here, for all the opportunity that is present there for us to serve and to teach, and for all the hope of the future as we look to the future. We ask, O Lord, that you would work faith in them, that you would work faith in us. Help us to trust in you as we teach, that you will use your word to work powerfully, calling them away from themselves and to look to you. May that be true for us who are older too, as we weaken in body, that we would look to you and know that in you we have true strength. Father, we do thank you for the privilege to worship. And as we do so today, we pray that we would gain insight into the heart of Christ as we consider that from your word this morning. Lead us, we pray, and guide us into new life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn again in our hymnals to number 293. Number 293. The first three stanzas of O Come, Emmanuel. We're going to stand to sing the first three stanzas of number 293. We turn in God's Word this morning to Luke chapter 6, page 863 in your Bibles in front of you. We learn a lot about the Lord Jesus. We learn a lot about His life, how He was born. We're going to hear about that tonight in the virgin birth, the holy conception of the Lord Jesus, as we consider Lord's Day 15 of the Heidelberg Catechism. This morning we want to, Lord's Day 14. But this morning, as we think about the Gospels, if we think that in the Gospels all that we learn is that Jesus was simply about being right, then we might want to copy his teaching. If we think that all Jesus was about was to draw crowds, we might want to copy his methods. Or if we think that Jesus was only about persuading people, we would work on being more persuasive. But this morning, as we consider Jesus, we see him as an adult, not as a child. We see him serving those around him, and his words are stunning. This morning, his heart is on display. That's the heart that we see, the heart that we see here this morning, the heart of the Lord Jesus, the heart that God wants to work in us as we are those who go out to speak of that one who came into that manger so many years ago. I want to listen then as the word is read from Luke chapter 6, the verses 37 to 42 this morning.